I don't know what you've heard about G, but he's with the Sweet Spot 1 and 3. He loves rainbows, sunsets, and puppies. He's the afternoon J-U-B. I don't know what you've heard about G, but he's with the Sweet Spot 1 and 3. He treats Oxnard women respectfully. He's the afternoon J-U-B.
That's right. Let us hook up with the Texas Radio Hall of Famer, one-third of your Courage Boys, the Morning Musers. It is George Pudge Pudge, International Chirp Chirp Dunham. Hi, Georgie.
Oh, yeah. Sweet Spot.
How you doing?
How we doing?
It's the Sweet Spot.
I know you're playing hurt this week. How's the voice?
Man, I don't know. It's pretty frustrating.
No.
did Junior give you the throat stuff, whatever it is, laryngitis?
I guess. Both of us been sick for a couple of weeks now. It's getting kind of old.
Yeah, I had laryngitis 2 years ago, I think it was. And Justin remembers this because it was so random. It hit me on a Sunday morning during work in progress. And it just kind of gradually kept getting worse and worse through the show where I felt fine, but just the voice was going away. And then I went home, and my voice was gone for over a week, where I wasn't feeling sick, like no fever, just kind of a little crummy, and then just no voice.
Yeah, that's the weird thing. Usually it lasts with me. I don't know. Once a year, I get something like this. And usually it affects my voice for about 3 days or so. But now we're going on about day five from weird voice. Friday, I could hardly talk at all.
I've heard frozen awesomes are actually really good for it.
Really?
Yeah, well.
Okay.
Can't hurt to try.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe that's my problem.
I have a band question. Oh. So when you're going through this right now, will this actually cancel gigs because you're the lead singer?
It could. We're supposed to play on Thursday night in the fair town of Bartonville, Texas. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm going to tell the guys today, everyone pick a song and I'll just play and they can sing. Because,
oh, no, George.
Yeah, I know.
Would there be like a Jane's Addiction moment where somebody decides to punch you because they don't want to do a certain song?
Maybe.
Over the head with your fiddle.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be, left over from all of this. I am starting to develop a wheeze laugh again.
Oh, yes.
Well, that's a positive, I suppose.
As long as you're feeling better.
It's the silver lining.
Have you guys ever been in a fight? Like, not a fist fight on stage. I would assume that hasn't happened. But do you guys, you know, you've been doing this for a while. Like, as the bandmates just argue and just bicker with each other?
We have no. Because we just do it for, you know, enjoyment, and we don't, I mean, there are times that we take it seriously just because we don't want to mess up, you know, like if we're playing at Jub Jam or like when we played at Troy's thing, you know, we'll actually have a practice and, you know, things like that. But no, that's the good thing about it is it's been, you know, just a good escape to play music and not worry about, you know, confrontation. At least not yet.
Do you ever get nervous before those big gigs like Jub Jam?
Yeah, because you want everything to go well. No, not like that. Yeah, you do. But you know what? I almost think there is... It'd be great with that if that really did happen.
That place.
And there's a microphone back there for some reason.
But it's just like a guy pressing it.
Wouldn't that be great if someone really, I mean, I've been told that just like the Gorilla Channel, that is not real, but I would like to believe that that is real, that some old boy pulled the mic from the PA at Walmart and just let it rip.
I think that was Casey Musgraves at the Palladium.
Okay. Don't you join that party.
So speaking of fake sounds, I want your thoughts on this. It's something we talked about in the opening segment. So the rims at the AAC, whenever a player misses a shot, you can hear the doink or you can hear the swish.
Yes.
And Cuban on a podcast with Josh Hart, he was saying how he didn't like playing in Dallas because when he missed a shot, that sound would get into his head. And Cuban said, it's not actually a microphone. It's drops they're playing in the arena. And I find that very difficult to believe that someone, their version of ham could do that for 20 plus years and get it right every single time and not hit the wrong button at least once.
Yeah, no. That's
crazy.
Fart
drop out on accident when he clinks one.
Play the Walmart blast when it's way off. No, I don't believe that. I mean, every backboard, you know, is mic'd the same pretty much, isn't it? They just put those almost like those contact mics up there. And that's why you hear when it hits the backboard or the rim, right?
I think it's a little louder at the AAC. Now, I haven't really been to many games outside of here, but just on TV, you can definitely notice it, especially on free throws, the swish and the doink. But we're going to have to do some investigating to see if this is if it's actually real noise or if it's just a drop.
Because how could you time that up?
Yeah, exactly.
You would have the rim noise after the ball's bouncing off most of the time, I would think.
I always hear dudes yell, like when they're going for a rebound or they get fouled. It just feels like that mic is picking them up. So why wouldn't it pick up the swish or the doink? But
right.
Does one exclude the other? Like, couldn't they do both? They would have it mic'd, but then also he's emphasizing it with a drop.
Okay.
Like yeah, that. Maybe.
Lando, the voice of reason.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
And I would also like to say that I've always, especially from, like, if you're doing the game on radio, I remember, like, the first game I did where we had the effects mic on the backboards. I just thought that sounded so great. I love listening to a game where it's not too loud, so it's distracting, but you can hear that. I think that is, I almost enjoy that more than, you know, hearing, yeah, here we go in the thump of the pads.
Or Kim K.
Here we go!
Or Kim K.
What do you think of Brady? I haven't heard you guys, like, really weigh in yet on his improvement week one to week two.
I thought he was good his first game, especially, you know, just grading on that it was his first game. And I really thought this last week he was borderline great. And I think he's going to just keep getting better. I think those guys have a really hard job. He and Troy
and Romo.
Romo, all of them, because there is part of them that just wants to go, you know, totally football nerd out and say, okay, mm-hmm. This is what weak side this, that, you know, and just go crazy. So they have to explain it, but they have to explain it so most people can understand it. And they got about, as you guys know, what, 13 seconds.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and then plus you got people talking in your ear. We got that replay. You know, we're about to show this. And that's why I think you heard Brady stop a couple of times mid-sentence in week one. That takes some getting used to. I haven't done much TV, but when I had in doing a game, that would always cross me up when you were talking. And then even something as simple as, okay, take us to break.
Yeah.
I mean, that, you know me. What?
Start counting you down, yeah.
Who's that?
So you don't have Daddy in here.
Shut up, Daddy.
Before you go to break every
is
time.
That you, Santa Claus?
Oh. Now,
I think Brady has a lot of Troy to him where he's going to work hard during the week and he's going to watch a lot of film. But I...
Just like Tony.
No, and that's a difference. But I think this could be good for Brady, but I also think it could kind of hurt him with Troy and even Romo. Like, you can watch the games and not think of Troy Aikman, the former Cowboys quarterback. And with Romo, he's just kind of goofy. Like, you don't really think of them as the former player because they're doing, if you like it or if you don't like it, it's kind of just the game now and it's what they are. I feel like it's always going to be impossible to separate Tom Brady, the announcer, versus Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback of all time.
That's interesting because I think about it through the years, and when he coached, I did not like John Madden. I rooted against the Raiders. I like Kenny Stabler. I thought he was pretty cool, and Biletnikoff and those guys. But, you know, I just thought the Raiders were, you know, the Darth Vader of the NFL, and I did not like Madden. And, I mean, two broadcasts in, I no longer saw him. And he was a very big personality. I mean, I would say of the, in the 70s, it was, you know, Shula, Landry, Knoll, and Madden as top four coaches. And, you know, he's doing Miller Lite commercials. So, you know, he was a very big personality. I see that. But then, and also think of when you guys probably don't remember this. You're probably too young to remember Roger doing games shortly after he retired. And here's Roger Staubach. I mean, the Captain America. I would say a very close comp to Brady. And by a couple of games in, to me, he was, you know, Roger the announcer, and I couldn't wait to hear what he had to say. And
was he good?
I don't remember. Yeah, it was, I think it was only for one season, the 1980 season. And, he got in some hot water. It was like his second or third broadcast. It was right before the 1980 election.
Oh.
And, Jimmy Carter had said, that he had talked to his daughter, Emma, and she told him the night before that the thing she feared the most was the bomb. And a couple of days later, Roger, who has a daughter named Amy, he said in the pregame of Cowboys and Cardinals, you know, I talked to my daughter, Amy, last night, and she said the thing she feared most about the Cardinals was the bomb.
Okay, funny line.
Okay. It was great. It was back when they had Jim Hart and whoever that receiver was. It was really fast. But, yeah, so that's interesting, though, Mino, because maybe Brady's the exception because you're right, he is so big. But I think through the years there have been big personalities like Roger and Madden, and you just see them differently.
And I think that's kind of Tom Brady's lane. Like, he's going to get better. I thought he was way better in week two, but I think he's the best when he's being Tom Brady and he gives his perspective of, you know, grading the plays or grading the throws and stuff like that, or giving an anecdote about Mike Zimmer from his playing days. I think that's very unique, something you're not going to get from, you know, I love Greg Olsen, but you're not necessarily going to get that from other guys in the job. I think he really just needs to steer into being Tom Brady.
Yeah.
And doing goat.
No, I think you're right about that. And, yeah, I think it's interesting. You know, those guys, does anybody like any announcer anymore? Those guys just get killed on social, and I haven't really read much stuff on Brady. I'm assuming he's getting panned nationwide, but I don't know.
Week one was rough. I think the whatever, consensus is he was better in week two.
Yeah. It's like if you're doing games, you're just putting yourself out there for, you're going to make somebody mad. Either you're not a big enough of a homer, or you make one reference that someone thinks is, you know, something's not funny, and all of a sudden you're a jerk.
Georgie, I would love to talk more, but you need to save that voice for 5:30 in the morning, sir.
Okay.
I want you to get better.
All right, boys.
And I love you.
Daddy says hi.
Yeah, Daddy told
y'all
us
too.
To go drink. Go call Daddy. All right, there he goes.
Maybe a frozen awesome to get us going. That's a good idea, Mino.